Thank you for choosing this resource by Creflo and Taffy Dollar. Our goal is to provide an understanding of God's grace and empower change. Now listen to the gospel taught with simplicity and understanding, and watch it change your life.
Father, we thank you so much for the power of your Holy Spirit that we rely on, that we depend on for everything in our lives. Father, we ask that you will anoint our ears to hear your word tonight. We have confidence in you, Lord. We come to you, Lord, with whatever we may have, whatever weakness, or we might be empty, but we delight in coming to your fullness. We delight in coming to you, and that no matter what it is we lack, we know that you're full of it. And so, Father, we bring ourselves before you, and we bring like an empty vessel before you, knowing that you're full of supply to fill it up. And we thank you for that, Lord, and we give you praise for it now. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. Well, give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. He's worthy of it. Amen. Turn and greet two or three of your neighbors, and you may be seated. If you have your Bibles, let's pick up again at 3 John chapter 2, 3 John verse 2. Now, what I just said there in that prayer, that is just so amazing. You know, the old covenant of law always referred to and talked about, you know, the demands that had to be met, in order for God to do something. And yet under the covenant of grace, it always talked about the supply that was available. Now, I want you to think with me for a moment. If we believe that under the new covenant of grace, it is supply, then how we approach God from that standpoint is going to determine whether it's called faith or whether it's called doubt. All right? Because what we're saying is we believe that it's already done. It's supplied. In any area of your life, your healing, your deliverance, your finances, supply. He's the supply. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through and by Christ Jesus. He will supply. He will supply. In fact, let's look at Philippians chapter 4. Something just changed. Let me get my Bible. I need to go that way for a moment. A lot of times people don't get it and really understand how important it is how we approach God. And how we approach God is so very important, especially when we're dealing with this life of prosperity and the life of a steward. The life of a steward and how we choose to approach God is so, so very important. It's vital. Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 10. So now let me show you what I'm talking about. So if God is the supply and he's full of everything, He's fullness, and so you find yourself empty, but he's fullness. You find yourself empty, but he's fullness. So what would be faith? Faith would be me going to fullness, right? I'm empty, and I go to where I can get filled up. God loves for you to approach him that way. He loves for you to approach him in need and trust that he has the supply for your need. He loves to approach you. He loves for you to approach him in need, and he has the supply for your need. Now, how many of you have ever had needs in your life? All right. So at that point, what you do is going to determine, you know, is this faith in God or is this doubt? If I don't go and then I choose to try to look at all other areas of my life to try to fill that need, wow. To try to fill that need. Look at the other options to try to fill that need. Now, let me tell you what's going on. Here's my sermon. And then I've been praying all day, Lord, would you please show up and be my guest speaker? And now he's changing my sermon. Okay. And I had it all well planned out. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. And hopefully we may get there. But right now, this is strong on me. Okay. So here's God. He's the supply house. Okay. And then all of us have experienced what it's like to have needs, right? But with all the options, you know, you can call the bank and you can borrow and you can, all these different things. How many times have you just went straight line to God and say, I trust you to meet every last one of my needs. See, you have to dismiss the timing factor. Yeah, but I need it now. I need it now. Well, you should have started talking to him before then, you know. I'm just saying, don't allow all these other things to pressure you not to choose your real supply. Okay? Now, he loves to be needed, and he loves to be trusted. So let's not take that from him. So whatever need you have in your life, whether it's your family, your marriage, whether it's finances, we're going to him because he's our supply house. Now notice what he says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. He says, but I rejoice, Paul said, in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Isn't that something? You lacked opportunity. Let's look at that in the Amplified. He says, you lacked opportunity. You see, all we need, we've got to start seeing the situations that come in our life as opportunities, not problems. This is an opportunity. What this is an opportunity. When you don't have the money to pay your bills, what this is an opportunity. When sickness hits your body, what this is an opportunity. When marriage is on the rocks, what this is an opportunity. Stop looking at trouble as trouble. Look at it as this is an opportunity, okay? And he says in Amplified, verse 10, I was made very happy in the Lord that now you have revived your interest in my welfare after so long a time. You were indeed thinking of me, but you had no opportunity to show it. You had, so just like, you know, they were wanting to show how they could help Paul. He says, you lacked the opportunity. Now think about God who is so ready to do things on your behalf. You don't lack the opportunity. You just don't take it to him. You follow what I'm saying? Now go to verse 11, King James. Father, I thank you. Hallelujah. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be, watch this, content. So this is important too. Whatever state I am, it's not like I'm gonna panic because the situation has changed. Because I trust God, I'm gonna be content. Whatever state I am gonna be content, okay? Lights on, content. Lights off, content, because I trust God, okay? So it's the content person that's gonna be able to take your need to the supply house. All right, look at verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to increase, and everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full, to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things. You see where his peace comes from. I can do all things through the Christ, through the anointed one, which strengthens me. Do you hear what he just said? No matter where I am, I trust God to strengthen me. I can do all things. Say that. I can do all things,
I can do all things
through Christ,
which strengthens me.
Say that again. I can do all things,
I can do all things
through Christ,
which strengthens me.
Do you see here that Christ is his supply for all things? Christ is his supply for all things. Christ is his supply for all things. He didn't say I can do all things through my own ability. He says I can do all things through Christ, my supply, his ability. He will strengthen me. He will strengthen me. If I'm broke, he'll strengthen me with finances. If I'm sick, he'll strengthen me with healing. If I'm sad, he'll strengthen me with joy. If I'm confused, he'll strengthen me with peace. Notice here, Paul is saying, here is my source. God is my source of supply. Okay, turn to your neighbor and say that to him. God's my source of supply. Okay, now look at verse 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. He's talking to that church. He said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel. Now, what is the gospel? It's the gospel of grace, right? So in the beginning, when he first started preaching this good news about grace, he says, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. So So here is the Apostle Paul in partnership with a church, and that church now is giving into Paul's ministry. But now let's see how, you know, what was the receiving part. But now watch this, verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. So you see partnership. You see this church partnering with Paul, sowing into the Apostle Paul's life. All right, verse 17. He said, not because I desire a gift. Oh, yeah. He said, this church was not giving me money and taking care of my necessities because I desired a gift. Well, what did you desire? But I desire fruit that may increase or abound to your account. Oh, look what Paul said. Paul said, I know what happens where this giving and receiving is concerned. And I don't desire a gift from the church. But what I desire, the reason why I'm accepting it, is that I desire to see supply come on the church. And he says, I know that this is a way for supply to come on the church. I desire fruit that may increase to your account. So the first thing he says here is, you know, look at what you're doing. Look at what you're doing. You're giving to my necessities, and I'm not taking it because I want a gift, but I'm taking it because I know that this is the route that you take to get fruit to abound to your account. People don't understand that nothing comes if nothing's given. You can't inhale unless you exhale. You know what I'm saying? You can't get a harvest unless you give a seed, you know? And that's how everything was created. It was created based on this system of give and receive. All right, now watch this, verse 18. But I have all and abound, I've increased, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, it was well-pleasing to God. But look at verse 19. But my God. See, you notice what Paul is saying. Yeah, I see what y'all sending me, but you still are not my source. Okay? But my God shall supply all, watch this now, your need. He's talking to a church that kept giving to his necessity, kept bringing things to him. He says, God is going to supply your need. Don't look for me to do it. God is going to supply your need. How? According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, which is on the inside of you. So here's what you see as a steward. And we'll talk about that as a steward who will manage the supplies of God. Boy, that's powerful. Yeah. A steward that will manage the supplies of God. Boy, that's powerful. I'm taking you somewhere I hadn't been before. As a steward, I manage the supplies of God. Notice what he says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a steward. My job is to manage the supplies of God. Oh, hallelujah. Watch what happens now. How is God going to begin to meet the needs of other people? Through his stewards. Through the managers of his supply. Each of us have been given a supply of the Spirit. Each of us have been given certain things in our life. He says, if you'll be my steward, you will be, watch this, honored to be summoned one day, glory to God, to put supply where I need it. Wow. To put supply where I need it. Now, I know most of us read this, but my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And so we're looking for God to drop it out of heaven. But what you've got to understand is, here's what God has dropped out of heaven. Stewards. Managers that are already here. Now, you must understand that everything that gets to you from the hand of somebody that's here. Oh, my goodness. I'm telling you, you ought to start waking up this in the morning and saying, Lord, use me as your steward wherever you need me today. Use me as your. This is a missing substance in why people are not living the prosperous life, because they don't have a steward mindset. Remember, a steward is someone who manages the property, the money, or the dealings of another. He's not per se the owner, but he is the manager. Now, I know we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus, but when Jesus said that in Romans chapter 8, let the context define it. He's talking about your joint heirs with that righteousness and your joint heirs with everything. Absolutely. I don't deny that. But it never said disregard your stewardship. So even as I'm a joint heir with Christ Jesus, I am a owner who acts like a steward. You see, First Chronicles, everything that David gave was already God's. He was owning that, but he no longer saw himself as the owner of it. He said, this money is not mine. And what you've got to do is you've got to say, this supply is not mine. This supply is mine. You see what a supply is, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through and by Christ Jesus. Well, I know where Christ Jesus lives. He lives on the inside of me. I know that he works through my hands, and I know he works through my legs, and he works through my mouth, and he speaks, and his ministry is going on through me. I am the earth suit that will carry not only myself, but it's the life of Christ that I am now living. And so now if I'll be sensitive to that as a steward, then every day I'm thinking, I have to be a manager over this anointing. I have to be a manager over the money. I have to be the manager over the good that he brings to me. I have to be manager of you know, if God summons me one day and says, will you help me in this? Will you be able to say, yes, sir, I'll help you in this? And see, you may think that you can't help God in this. You might think you got to have a whole bank full of money to help God in this. No. Remember, you are stewards over different types of supplies. Hallelujah. Will you help me in this? Will you be a steward and assist me in what I need to do to get supply into somebody else's life? Now, do you know what a blessing is? A blessing is literally defined as a funnel by which you can flow favor into somebody else's life. Guess who the funnel is? Me. I'm going to accept that. I am going to be a funnel. I want to be an instrument. Say this out loud. I am an instrument of God's favor. Wow. Say it again. I'm an instrument of God's favor. So God can flow his favor through me into somebody else's life. So now when you become steward minded, that's the kind of mindset you're going to have. You're going to always be listening out to the owner to see what he wants done with his goods. Now, let me throw a little something into this now. So that also means that you don't just go off doing stuff for people without checking with the owner. Just because it looked like it was something good to do, he might not want your supply to be in that situation because that might belong to somebody else. Are you listening to what I'm saying? But when you become steward-minded, then you're sensitive to him. What happens? You become a barefooted priest. You're sensitive to every step. You know that this life is not yours anymore. But the life that you now live, you live through him. Praise God. And you're trusting him. And as a barefooted priest, you're saying every morning, Lord, I am here. I am a steward. I manage your supply. I'm a steward of your anointing. And so I'm careful about this anointing. I'm careful not to use this anointing in a place where it can be purchased. It's God's anointing. Listen, whatever God gave to you was not for you. Whatever God gave to you was for somebody else. Now, how can I use his supply for somebody else? Well, you don't have to come up with an answer to that. All you got to do is be available for God to speak to you. Well, what do I do until then? Just enjoy it until he talks to you. Just enjoy life until he talks to you. And listen, and he might not be talking to you, every day and every week, but when it's time for him to say something, be ready. Be ready. Say, God, I've been ready for you to use me all this time. I've taken good care of the supply. I've been a good manager of the supply. And so when God needs it, he'll call. I had that happen to me last Sunday. He said, son, would you help me in this? I said, I certainly will. And he told me what to do. And I was well supplied at doing it. Okay? But had I not been sensitive, I am a steward. I am a steward. I am a steward.
I am a steward. I want to be available for God to call on my stewardship. And I want to be able to use that. As far as I can see, reconciling this message of prosperity with grace, first base, is will I come to a place of admitting that this money is not mine, it belongs to God, because all good and perfect gifts come from the Father, which is from above. In Him we move, in Him we breathe, in Him we have our being. And I now accept the fact that God is the source of my life, inhaling and exhaling. He's the source of me being born at this time. He's the source of your job. He's the source of your paycheck. He's the source of your profit. He's the source of everything. So listen, because He's the source of everything, how am I to ignore that and not realize that I am a steward of God? Say out loud, God is my source.
God is my source.
That's the second thing you got to do. Once you become steward-minded, God is my source. You've got to become mentally aware of it. God is my source. God is the source of all of my needs. Say that with me. God is the source of all of my needs. Say that. Say it again. God is the source of all of my needs. I'm probably working on something to help you kind of meditate on it and just maybe get with Sister Carol and work on some things like that that we need to just get on the inside. I'm a steward and God's the source of all of my needs. Just, you know, things that you can say quickly as you go out for the day. God's the source of my needs today. He's the source of all of my needs today. And so what happens is you can be like Paul, even in the midst of a stressful situation, but you're not stressed. Why? Because God's the source of all of my needs. God's going to take care of me. In fact, He's already taken care of me. He's the source of all of my needs. And now once you see manifestation after manifestation after manifestation, you become real peaceful at that because there's no panic involved, because the God who's the source of all of my need has been my source all these months, all these years. And now you're trying to convince other people, trust the Lord, baby, He'll take care of you.
Yes, sir.
All right. But we've got to understand God is the source. Say it again. God is the source of all of my needs, of all of my needs, of all of my needs. Now, does that include financial?
Yes.
So we cannot compartmentalize these areas where we say, you know, over here in this compartment, I have my marriage, I have my job, I have my family, and over here I have my money. Now, what happens? A house divided, in Matthew 12, a house divided against itself won't stand. You got to put everything about your life in one compartment. It's that glove compartment called Jesus. Uh-huh. Understand what I'm saying? Everything goes there. And you'll be surprised how all areas of your life will be impacted when you involve God in the area of your finances. But a lot of people don't want to do that. They want to keep their finances personal. They believe that it's their sweat and their hard work, 40 hours and 60 hours a week, that's what's going to make the difference financially. And so no wonder, you know, you won't let God in. You won't let Him be a part of your finances. So you're saying, no, I'm going to handle it this way. I work for it. It is mine. And guess what happens? He's not the source. He's not the source of all your needs. He's the source of everything else except for that. Now, the problem with that is, and I'll show you in our upcoming series, the problem with that is if He's not the source of your finances, you'll find that you lack Him in all other areas. But when you involve Him in that area, which is the little, you'll find He'll be involved in all other areas, which is much. This is something I've seen in people's lives, but I couldn't understand it because I couldn't reconcile grace and prosperity together. But now as we see that, we'll look at it. So what I'm doing is teaching on Sundays and then coming on Wednesdays, and then we're just kind of tightening it up a little bit and just kind of looking at it a little bit more. And the key thing from Sunday was this stewardship-mindedness. Stewardship-mindedness. My God shall supply all your need. Have you ever had a need before?
Amen.
Well, who's the source of all of your needs being met? God, right? Say out loud, God is my supply.
God is my supply.
So any need you have, what's the first thing you think? Huh? God's my supply, right? All right, now, can you remember in times past when you had a need and God was not the first thing you thought about? He wasn't the first person you thought about? What'd you think about? You immediately start thinking about what you needed to do to take care of this business. Yeah, but Pastor, if I don't, what, you don't think we're just supposed to sit around and let it happen? For the most part, when certain things come up, you just like in a rocking chair anyway. You moving, but ain't nothing happening anyway.
All you're doing is stressing yourself out, because at the end of the day, you're still going to have to wait to see what happens. At least the first thing you can do when you have a need is immediately go to God and begin to thank Him and begin to praise Him. And in the midst of that, He gives you wisdom. He's opening the door up. He's speaking to one of His stewards somewhere who's been managing the very supply you in need of. I love that, man. I love that. He's speaking to His steward somewhere who's been managing the very supply that you need, man. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I want you to think about when God got involved in your life. It was somebody, wasn't it? It was Him in somebody's body, right? Hallelujah. I am trusting God as the supply house of my life. Amen. Now, let's see. Let's go now to where I think I told you to go in when I first came out here. So here's the deal. I trust God. I have faith in God. So what do? When I'm empty or when I'm in a need, guess what? I go to Him. And He's my fullness, right? He'll fill me up. He'll fill me up. He'll fill me up. He'll fill me up. I trust that everything I need, He's given it to me by the grace of God. Okay, 3 John. Amen. God's my supply house. Let me show you something here. Let's just go here. 3 John 2. Beloved. Now, I said this once before. You can stop right here. That's one, that one word. Beloved. If God is going, if you're going to receive any of God's supply, you're going to have to believe that you are His beloved. And you're going to have to believe that God loves me. See, if you don't believe that God loves you, you won't receive anything that God has for you, because you don't believe He loves you. Book of Deuteronomy, I believe, they didn't believe God loved them, and they rebelled against Him. What will make you rebel against God? Not believing that He loves you. Say out loud, I believe God loves me.
I believe God loves me.
I am highly favored.
I am highly favored.
And I am loved by God.
And I am loved by God.
With a relentless love.
God loves me.
All right, now see, what happens when you don't think God loves you? You won't be looking for God to meet your need. You won't be looking for God to take care of you. These are the intangibles of prosperity. When you believe God loves you, beloved, that's who He's talking about. He's talking about everybody who knows that they are loved by God. I know that I'm loved by God. Thank God for His grace, because my performance is not what determines God's love for me. God decided to love me with an unconditional love, which means He loves me unconditionally, not based on what I do. So you don't go to God and say, well, Lord, I know that word says beloved, but You can't love me after what I did. Listen, you have to know, if you're going to live a prosperous life, you have to know that God loves me. You got to know that. Not think that you have to be sure. God loves me, and I know it. Even at this awkward moment, God loves me. I am His beloved. I am His beloved. Say that. I am His beloved. Okay? He says, now, I pray above all things that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Now, let's look at this in the Amplified again. I pray, in the King James, it uses the word wish. Amplified says, I pray that you may prosper or be successful in every way. That's strong, isn't it? The will of God. Faith will not work until the will of God is known. God's will for you is to be successful in every way. Get a picture of your life. It is to be successful in every way. I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well. Check this out. God wants your body to stay well. He wants your body to stay well. Question, is it the will of God for you to struggle all the time?
No.
Is it the will of God for you to be sick all the time?
No.
What is His will for your finances? What is His will for your health? What is His will for your marriage? That's it. Being successful and prosperous in all those life. You have to believe that that's God's will for your life and that you may keep well. And he says you staying well and you being successful in every way is going to be based on this, even as I know your soul keeps well and prosperous. A successful soul equals a successful life. A successful soul equals a successful life. Well, how then am I successful in my soul? Remember, your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your soul is not your spirit. Religion has used the word spirit and soul interchangeably as if they are the same. Your soul is not your spirit. You are a spirit being. What? You possess a soul and what? You live in a body. So how do I have a successful soul? When I have a successful soul, my soul is successful as a result of me renewing my mind with the Word of God. A successful soul is a soul or a way of thinking that lines up with the Word of God. A successful soul is a way of thinking, a way of choosing, a way of believing that lines up with the Word of God. So when you take the Word of God and you can begin to line your soul up with the Word of God, that is going to equal a successful soul. He says, if you have a successful soul, then you're going to be successful in your health and you're going to be successful in every way. See, here's what church people have been doing. They want to be successful financially. They want to be healed in their body. They want to have peace in their marriage, but they don't ever come to church to get their mind successful. Or they don't spend time in the Word to get their soul successful.
Yes, sir.
Or they never, you know, set aside some time to get their soul and their thinking successful. It doesn't require much for you to just listen to any old body and or, you know, because what happens is if you're listening to the wrong thing, even going to the wrong church, even going to a church where they're not preaching the Word of God, puts you in a terrible position where your soul is out of line. See, if the teaching's out of line, then your soul's out of line. I'll prove it to you. When you were under the law and religion was teaching you that you had to do good to get good, do bad to get bad. What happened? You do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. Now, when you were under that, what was going on? Because that teaching was under the law and out of whack, you were not seeing success in every area. You might have got a little bits and pieces somewhere. You were not seeing success a lot of time in your physical body, unless you got a truth at some time right there. And every now and then you get a piece of truth and it'll give you a piece of success. And that's what was happening. But until we can get our soul lined up with the Word properly, only then will our success in life be lined up with the Word. So check this out. The most powerful scripture I found in the Bible is that faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. You know what he's saying? The more you hear, the more you hear. You hear it, the more you hear, the more you hear. What are you doing? You're lining. You're creating a successful soul. You are creating successful thinking. You are creating successful choices because you're lining your soul up with the Word of God. When you line your soul up with the Word of God, when your soul keeps well and when your soul is successful, then your life will keep well and your body will keep well because your soul keeps well. So now you ask me, it don't matter what church you go to. Well, it depends on how well you want your soul.
Amen.
Remember the scripture says concerning the preacher, he said, He was talking to the people that they should do things so it don't cause the preacher so much trouble because he watches over your soul. Well, how does he watch over your soul? With what he ministers. Okay? And so you want to make sure that you're in a place where your soul is being watched over correctly. How many know you got some good security guards and you got some bad security guards? If you got something real, real expensive, I want to make sure I have the best security guard watching over my expensive stuff. Same thing here. What have you submitted your soul to? You sure you want to do that? You sure you want to submit your soul to the life coaches that don't use the Word? You sure you want to submit your soul to emotions that don't care about the Word? Some of y'all sleep, boy. Y'all knocked out. It's cold outside. It's warm in here. I'm talking melatonin, y'all saying? And I'm talking about your soul. You trying to see it. What soul? I think I see it. So. What is it that the devil has done throughout the years to try to stop soul success? What are the things that have happened throughout the years to try to make sure that there was no prosperity of the soul? We've been so concerned in prosperity and material life and all of our outer life, and everything, you know, everything's got to go in, work inwardly before it comes out. I mean, you know, every flower's got to come through dirt before it shows up and as a beautiful flower. This is where it is. I want to get my thinking in line with the word. Right thinking equals right living. Wrong thinking is going to equal wrong living. Well, what determines if thinking is right or wrong? Certainly not the government. That's right. Certainly not society. The norms and values of society change all the time. What was right today based on norms and values was wrong 40 years ago.
That's right.
So that can't be truth because it changes too much. So what you got to do is truth is always going to be constant. It's going to remain the same regardless of what's going on. And the Bible remains the same. It remains the same. You look 40 years ago and look now. There's so much acceptance of what used to be wrong. And it's accepted for the sake of that's just how it is. Now, everybody think it's right, so it's right. You know how dangerous that is? Do you know this generation that's coming up right now? Their soul is being attacked by the high thought. The Bible calls it the high thought. The high thought is that thought that society has defined as being okay now. That's the high thought. And if a person's soul is governed by the high thought and not governed by the word of God, see, eventually you can say it, well, it's okay. But what happens is just keep your eyes on their life never can quite get a grip of being successful in every way and your body keeping well. All you got to do is judge that. Look at their life. Is it being successful in every way? And is your body keeping well? Why not? Because you've allowed your soul to be guarded by the high thoughts of society. Instead of being guarded by the truth of God's word. So how a man thinks and what a man thinks about and how much he thinks about that thing is determining how successful and prosperous he will be. Now, I know this is a microwave generation. We want everything quick. We are entitled to it. We need to have it now because we think we deserve it. But certain things need to simmer. Certain seed got to get in the ground before it can grow. A seed, it'll grow down to establish a root before it'll grow up. This generation wants everything to grow up without a root, and it doesn't stay long. Your soul has got to be guarded by something that'll make it successful and prosperous. And the only thing I know of in this world that can guarantee a successful soul is the Word of God. That's the only thing. And there's no magic pill you can take to get a successful soul. Do you know the price of a successful soul? Your attention. Your attention. Give attention to the word. I think Proverbs says, attend to the word. Give attention to the word. When you give attention to that word, it'll give birth to wisdom. Wisdom is knowing what to do when you don't know what to do. It'll give birth to guidance if you give attention to that word. If you hear that word, something so simple as dedicating time for the word, dedicating time to come to church, dedicating time to get in that word, even in your own personal life, it'll make the difference in your life. Somebody says, well, I read my Bible, but do you know what you read? That's why it says, and all you're getting, get what? So it's nothing magical happens if you own the Bible. Well, I read a verse. Well, you know what it said? No, but I read it. So, you know. And you know, it's like every prisoner goes into prison and he gets the Bible and he starts reading it. But does he know what it means? You understand what I'm saying? All you're getting, what? Get understanding. Amen. So, I don't know how many points I've given you. We started off with knowing your stewardship. And then we said God's got to be your source. And then we said that you've got to believe that you're loved by God. Okay. And then we said you got to make sure you have a successful soul And a successful soul is a soul that lines up with the Word of God. Boy, this turned out to be a good Bible study tonight, boy. I'm telling you, I know we're going to get no list tonight, but I sure appreciate it. It's just things that you can use to take care of those intangibles. I call them the intangibles of prosperity. Before you start seeing the apple on the tree, there's a lot of stuff that had to take place before you saw that apple on the tree. And what I'm trying to show you on these Wednesday nights, what are the things that need to take place before you can see prosperity in every way, in your body, in your finances, in your marriage, in every way? It's gonna take place up here. What are you thinking about? What are you listening to? Ladies and gentlemen, I guard my ears. And the scripture says that, doesn't it? It says, guard your eyes, guard your ears, and it even said to guard your mouth. Because out of it flows the force. It uses the word issue. That word is translated the forces. Wow. A force. It's a force. The forces or the issues of life comes out of a man's heart. Guard your heart. Guard your heart. For out of it flows the issues of life. So whatever gets in your heart, oh Lord, I see this. Whatever gets in your heart, it comes out with such force that it can establish it in your life. Are you following what I'm saying? The Bible says something, and I still believe the comma's in the wrong place. The Bible says, as a man thinketh. Now, what we've read is, as a man thinketh in his heart. No, I believe it's as a man thinketh, comma, in his heart, so is he. Isn't that the truth? As a man thinketh, comma, in his heart, so is he. See what religion did? As a man thinking in his heart. That ain't what he's... Well, what's that other scripture folks used to do that put the comma in the wrong place? When the enemy comes in like a flood. That the comma's in the wrong place. It's when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard up. The enemy ain't coming in like no flood. The water's always been related to the Holy Ghost. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. So more water going to eat a flood. So when the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Lord will lift a standard up against him. That standard will be like a flood. Well, I believe it's the same situation here in Proverbs where he says, as a man thinketh, comma, in his heart, so is he. What is he saying? In his heart, he is what he has been thinking. And so what happens is, if you don't watch what you are thinking about, you will put something in your heart, and out of your, you keep thinking about it, then out of your heart flows that issue. That issue that came from your thinking, that issue that was deposited in your heart is that issue that's going to come out in your life. Glory be to God. I'm just showing you how the system operates. God still loves you. Grace is still being due there and all that. But I'm just saying, if we're going to line ourselves up with what Jesus has already done, all of this is going to it's going to impact how you believe. All this is going to, and see, one thing about the finished works of Jesus Christ, it requires your belief. So I'm trying to deal with all those things that impact how you believe and how you see a thing. And he is saying the prosperity of your whole life is going to be based on your soul, because how you think, right thinking equals right believing, and right believing equals right living. But if you don't think right, you won't believe right. And if you don't believe right, you won't feel right. And if you won't feel right, then you won't think right, and you won't make right decisions, and you just end up in the wrong destination. And the only place I know that can impact the way you think is the Word of God. Y'all got anything out of this? All right. I'm going to buy this tape myself. Wow. Did y'all get all that? See, this is what I pray. Lord, when people come to church and they take their time to come to church, could you be the guest speaker? Because I'm saying a lot of stuff. And there, some of you are hearing a lot more than what I'm saying. In other words, there is a message behind this sermon. And some of you sitting here, God will start talking to you in specific details. I'll be saying one thing, and you'll hear something else. That happened with Doc Price's son, Fred Price's son, Fred Jr. I was preaching, and while I was preaching, he heard God calling him to the ministry. Now, he don't remember what I was preaching on, but God was talking to him while I was preaching. That's my prayer, is that God will give you the sermon that's behind the sermon. Because breakthrough doesn't take place from the word of God. Breakthrough takes place when you get a word from God. So when we're in the word of God, I'm praying that you get a word from God. Hallelujah. So if you must take notes, don't take notes on everything I'm saying. Take notes on that word you get from God. When you get home, do this. Amen. Okay. So let's go. Beloved, I pray that you prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as your soul keep well. Let's go to St. John 10:10. I want to look at this a little bit. St. John 10:10. You see the benefit you get? You heard the sermon Sunday. You come in here Wednesday. We're doing a detailed little, just breaking it down even more and more and more and more. And you're fasting and praying. I guess some of you started fasting and praying. Amen. Some of you said, Rem, I ain't ready for that one right now. I'm going to do my own fast this year. All right, now watch this. The thief comes not but for to what? And to destroy. So the thief comes with what purpose? Kill, steal, destroy. So that should be credited to the thief. So when you see killing, it's credited to the thief, who's the devil. Stealing is credited to the thief, who's the devil. Destroy, destruction, it's credited to the devil. Don't let nobody tell me that's an act of God. But look what he says. But I am come that they might have what? And that they might have what kind of life? Abundant life. It is God's will for you as a Christian to have abundant life. How many of you believe that? You know, if I find out God's will for something, I'm just not going to just settle for something else. It's like if you look at areas of your life and it's not saying the abundant life, you should rebel against it. And don't tell me you don't know how to rebel. You've rebelled against God a lot. So just do the same thing you do against God against that. Rebel against everything that's not abundant life. Rebel against it. Rebel against brokenness. Rebel against insufficiency. Rebel against turmoil in the marriage. Just rebel against it. Rebel against it. How would you rebel against something from the devil? By taking the word of God. I'm going to rebel against it. I mean, when the devil comes to you and say, well, you're going to probably die by next week, you should say, oh, I doubt it. Doubt your doubts. Huh? All right, now look at the Amplified here in the same verse of Scripture. Abundant life. Abundant life. We should be living the abundant life. The thief comes only in order to steal and what? Kill and what? Destroy. I came that you may have and you are supposed to be enjoying life. I said, you are supposed to be enjoying life. And if you're not enjoying life, you need to rebel. You need to rebel. You're supposed to be enjoying life. I'm not going to ask you, raise your hands if you're enjoying life. I'm not going to do that. Don't raise your hand. You're just supposed to be enjoying life. If you're not enjoying life, you need to rebel against that. You need to enjoy life. He says that you may have and enjoy and have it in abundance to the full, till it overflows. You're supposed to have life in abundance. And here's how he describes abundance, full until it overflows. It's so good that it's an overflow. And you know what God does with the overflow? He always uses overflow to put it in somebody else's life. Your life ought to be so good that you're always putting something in somebody else's life. That's why he wants you to live that kind of life. It's not about you, folks. He's trying to be a blessing in the lives of other people and use you to do it. You keep fighting against, well, I don't want to be rich because rich people, da, 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 no, 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 no. It ain't about you being rich. It's about you overflowing. Stewards overflow. Glory to God. I said stewards overflow. See, when you overflow, you got to manage the overflow. Glory be to God. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm managing the overflow.
When you manage the overflow, is that management mean that it's going to be in your life, or are you going to be managing it and being a good steward of it? Say, so, you know, this is the overflow. Let me hold on to this just in case God summons me to be a blessing in somebody else's life. I'm supposed to be blessed, man. I was so thrilled. If you hadn't checked out our Global Missions website, we did so much this past year. And I think I was most thrilled about the mission work we did in Kenya. How we went in and we took a tribe of people. I think it was a Hutu tribe or something like that. They really jump up real high, you know. They kill lions. Lions don't even come around this tribe. Really, they do. And so their economy was kind of out of whack, and they were going through this poverty. And our team went over there, sat down with them, showed them how to build greenhouses and to raise their own food, showed them agriculture. Then we showed them how to sell their food and to make money off of it and to keep their money and to build up their tribe and their society. Man, I tell you, we not only, it wasn't just feeding them food, but it was showing them how to fish. You understand what I'm saying? It wasn't just putting things in their hands, but it was changing their life. That's what I'm talking about. And then when I saw the, we're doing some things in Indonesia and in Malaysia, and I saw the kids' food, and I told them, I said, I just don't want to see, and there's nothing wrong with this because they're nutritious kind of soups and stuff. And I said, if we can possibly not do that unless we have to, if you wouldn't eat it, don't give it to them to eat. Man, they took pictures of that food, boy, that rice and that nice chicken sitting on top of that dinner roll. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about, boy. My baby's eating. Well, see, we're managing the overflow into the lives of people so we can be a blessing. For you to say, I don't want no more what I got. I just want enough for me, my family, my parrot and my dog, and that's just enough. That is the most selfish prayer that you can pray. Why? Because as long as you just got enough for you and your family and your parrot, you ain't got nothing overflowing that you can do for somebody else. You will never be able to do nothing for nobody else. Because you only believe in just enough for you. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Start believing God for overflow.
Amen.
If you're going to believe God to impact your finances, tell him to impact it until it overflow. If you're going to impact your real estate, no, just quit believing God just for one house. Believe God for one house and another one, or a condo or something. Why? So you can use it to be a blessing for an overflow. Well, I just need one car. What you gonna do with three cars? Well, I'm gonna drive one. Wife gonna drive the other one, and then we can send another one over there where somebody need one.
Right.
First thing I did when I went to Australia was buy transportation. No, I don't know where you might be in the world, and you might see a van or something come up, and it's got Creflo Dollar Ministries on it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Enough to be a blessing to somebody else. Don't ever believe God for just enough.
Amen.
Just enough is never enough. The children of Israel, notice, they had just enough straw to make brick. They moved from a land of not enough to a land of just enough to a land of more than enough. Guess what we're supposed to be? In the land of what?
More than enough.
But it won't ever happen until we believe God for it. Now, here's the deal. Under grace, how do we reconcile this? It's already done. More than enough is already done. Everything I'm talking about, Jesus has already done it. And you ain't got to do no qualifying to get it. Your performance will not determine whether or not you go into overflow. Your goody-goody deeds and self-effort won't determine if you're going to overflow. That's already been determined by Jesus. So what's the only thing that's needed? Believe it. Will you believe it? That's That's what I'm talking about. Will you believe that grace has already provided abundant life? Glory be to God. Will you believe that grace has already provided a life that's to the full till it overflows? It's already there. I'm not asking. I'm not talking to you tonight about the five things you got to do to get it or the 20 things you got to do to keep it. I'm telling you, it's already done. Everything I'm talking to you tonight is about, can you believe it? Now, I'll say it differently. Can you receive it? It's done. This is a matter of, can you receive this? He says that you may have it. You may have it. You may have it. Amen. You may have abundant life. Yeah. Turn to your neighbor and say, you may have abundant life. You may have it. Oh, yes, you may have it. The question is, will you? You remember there was a situation in the Bible. This guy was needing prayer, and he was sick, and he wanted to know if Jesus would heal him. He said, Jesus, I know you can heal me, but will you? And Jesus, real quick, he says, I will. The whole issue wasn't, will Jesus do it? He says, I will. The issue is, will you? Will you receive it? I will heal you. Will you receive it? You may be healed. You may be prosperous. You may be delivered. Will you? It's there. It's there. And that's what you need to see. Yeah, I will. Yeah, Lord, I believe that. I am your source. Will you receive that? Oh, yeah. 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 This is not an issue of you got to be so flawless in order to get God to do this. God's already done this. Abundant life for you. Done deal. Waiting on you. We receive it. That's where we are right now. You don't walk out of here say, well, here are the 20 things I got to do to get this overflow life. I'm going to pray like 5 hours. I'm going to give all my furniture away, and I'm just going to be homeless. I mean, something got to happen by the time I finish. I'm going to have one pair of clothes. I'm giving all my clothes away. I'm gonna stand in line, and I'm just going to bless people with a dollar a piece. You're trying to get this based on your performance. And Jesus says, I came. I've already done it. I've already done it. But the reason why I came is so that you might have life. Has he come? Yeah. So when he came and he did this already. He did. It's already done. Abundant life is already deposited. Amen. You may live the abundant life, but not by your efforts. See, when you start living it, you're going to realize, well, it ain't cause of me. I just realized one day I had to receive it. And I got to looking at my life one day and I said, you know, I'm tired of this. Lord, I think I'm going to receive what you've already done. He said, by time. By time. You don't go to the Lord. Lord, I know I'm not worthy. God said, oh, don't come with all that. I knew you weren't worthy either. That's why I sent Jesus. You may live life in abundance. You know what God is saying here? I give you permission. Go ahead. Live it. Live it. Now, you cannot define abundance just based on your material things. That's where you're going to make your mistake. Well, I must not be abundant based on my material thing. You know the awesomeness about abundance is when you don't see the materials there and God made it happen for you anyway. That's abundance. That's abundant life. You didn't know. You didn't even have no money, and the bill got paid. Whoa, that's abundance. Woo, I got a shout on. That's abundance. You don't even know where it came from. That's abundant life. You didn't work for it. You didn't perform for it. Woo, that's abundance. It's not what you do that makes life abundance. It's what Jesus has done that makes life abundance. Hallelujah. And I trust his abundance. I trust him. He is my God that I come to. I trust him as my source. He's my source. And I'm abundantly living an abundant life because of what he has done and what he continues to do. I said this the other day. I'm going to say it again. God's grace will always be more than all of your problems. Think about it. With every problem you can ever have,
it'll never be more than God's grace. With every problem, it'll never be more than God's grace. So with everything you ever go through, just think to yourself, grace is more than this situation. I got more grace than I do this situation right now. Well, so why am I telling you this? No matter where you are and no matter what happens, your issues will never outweigh God's grace. So there'll always be enough grace to get you out of anything. And whatever you in, the grace of God is working to get you out. So what's the only thing God needs? For you to believe it. For you to believe it. I just ran out of time, but let me just explain this one last point. Why is belief so paramount? Why is belief so vital? I said something last night. I was in Texas. It seemed like everybody sucked the air out of the room, but I said this. I said, the blood of Jesus has taken care of every sin except one. Which one? Unbelief. All right, now think about that. Now, somebody says, well, how come he took care of all except one? Well, he made us a free moral agent, right? So we have a right to choose. So what happens is if we choose unbelief, unbelief chosen stops you receiving anything that he's done for you, including forgiveness. Unbelief blocks everything that Jesus has made available for you. So, unless you repent of unbelief and change your mind from unbelief to belief, he can't forgive you of unbelief because you don't believe in his forgiveness. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes.
So unbelief completely paralyzes God. So I made this statement that unbelief cannot be forgiven of, but it can be repented of. So you understand what I'm saying now? So how can God forgive you? I forgive you of unbelief. And you in unbelief saying, I don't believe your forgiveness. So most of the New Testament that we call a sin problem is really an unbelief problem. So when people talk about, well, once saved, I always say, you can do something to go to hell. No, it's not about what you're doing to go to hell. It's about what you don't believe. And when you don't believe Jesus, ain't nothing he can do to keep you from going to hell. To me, that was like the biggest revelation I ever got all in my whole life. I can repent of it by saying, okay, Lord, I believe. But look what that guy said. And this is so powerful. The guy said concerning his son, he said, Lord, I believe. Look what he said. Help my unbelief. So now that he believed God enough to help his unbelief. Some of you might need to pray that prayer. Lord, I believe you. Yeah. Every now and then this stuff try to come up. Help my unbelief. He said, you believe me just enough for me to come in and help your unbelief. Ooh, Jesus, that's a powerful thing. Yeah. So now I mention that because I know people who believe that God can heal them, and I know people who believe that God can deliver them, and I know people that believe that God can set them free, but then there are people who don't believe that God can prosper them. And what I'm saying, if you can believe that God can do all that other stuff, ask God to help you to believe that he can make you prosperous in every area of your life. Ask him. Because without this belief, the New Testament doesn't work unless you believe it. The covenant of grace doesn't work unless you believe it. I believe that God will make me successful. Excuse me, let me correct that. I believe that God has already made me successful in every single area of my life. Abundant life has already been provided for us who believe. You see now how we're balancing prosperity with grace, that it takes away you and your faithfulness. prosperity in your life. This is going to sound so religiously, it's just going to freak you out. But I'm going to say it anyway, and then I'll stop. Prosperity in your life is not based on your, listen to me, it's not based on, I'm not going to say that, okay? The Lord just told me, don't say that, not now. Maybe at the end of the series. Certain things, see, what that means is, that's perfect illustration. I have to be a steward over revelation. And if I'm cautioned not to give a revelation, if I'm not a steward over it and the owner of it says, don't say that, and I say it anyway, then I'm not being a good steward over revelation. And I want to be a good steward over revelation. Amen. So that's it. Y'all got anything out of this tonight, man? All right. Oh, wow. I had a pretty good class tonight. I'd enjoyed that myself. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. We're learning that it's your will for us to live life in abundance to the full, to live it as a steward, to know that we're beloved by you, Father, that our soul can be successful if we align it up with the Word of God, so that the issues that come out of our heart are issues of belief and issues of receiving what you've already done. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to perform for our prosperity. Thank you that your favor cannot be purchased. But thank you that the blood of Jesus has purchased everything that we'll ever need. And Lord, we are grateful for that. For those who are here tonight and those who are listening through the internet, may your power so explode on the inside of their lives as a result of their decision to receive and to believe. Oh, blessings of the Lord be upon these precious people tonight. Blessings of the Lord be upon their lives right now. Would you just lift your hands up right now? Father, I just pray that you just put your anointing on them right now. A fresh, that you're doing the work in their heart right now. You're doing the work in their lives right now. My prayer for those who have their hands lifted up, whether here or on the internet or the churches, I pray right now for a whole lot of unmerited favor to explode into their lives. Let them bump into blessings they didn't expect. But definitely let them bump into manifestations that they did not get through their performance. Lord, this is my prayer. Give infallible proof of this grace. Give manifestations of this grace so we can have great testimonies to tell others and be a steward even over this testimony. We give you praise for it now. I call them blessed.
Thank you for watching this teaching. We pray that this message has encouraged and empowered you to pursue God's best for your life. His grace is the pathway to living an abundant life. For additional life-changing resources or to learn about becoming a 2020 Vision Partner, visit our website at www.creflodollarministries.org or call toll-free 1-866-477-7683. Thank you for your support of Creflo Dollar Ministries. People like you change the world.